Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
And shout out again to all those people who hate my guts, but is sitting in a quiet place listening to my show. You are obsessed and sick, okay? Okay, I'll be right back. Let's get into stuff now.
Now tuned into the greatest.
This international chart-topping podcast is bringing you discussions and personal commentary on music, entertainment, celebrities, politics, love, health, and happiness. Catch up on missed episodes anywhere you can find a podcast on all our platforms. Spotify, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, Audible, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Overcast, CastBox, and many more. You can also catch Talk with Turk on Power 109 Radio every other Sunday. Download the app and tap in. Do you want the tea? Well, simply Talk with Turk, bish. Just talk with me.
I spend time and I spend energy and I spend effort and I spend everything I had, every fiber of my being, to give people quality.
Kill 2 and 3 motherfucking birds with one stone. By being with my babies. And oh no, no. At Turk bitch underscore gonna talk about here you go crunching ice and not it. It ain't even ice. It's a tootsie fucking roll. It's a tootsie roll. That's what you get thinking you cute. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At Turk bitch underscore.
Talk with
Turk. Hey you guys, it's your girl Ashley Tamar Davis, and it's time to have the talk with Turk and Coco B. Hey, it's your girl Ashley Tamar Davis, and I'm here on Talk with Turk and Coco B.
Talk with Turk.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Turk Bish here for an all new episode of Talk with Turk. I want to thank Power 109 Radio as well as 4DK Radio. We are in conglomeration today for a new interview that we have today. I want to introduce my lovely co-host, Coco B. How are you doing, Coco?
I am doing wonderful. Excited for today's episode, of course.
Of course, me too. And I told you guys that for June, we had a lot of surprises for you guys. And everything has just been rolling out.
It has.
I am so blessed. And I'm so happy that things have been going the way that we expected. And today, we have a very special guest for you guys.
Drum roll.
So, today we have a very special guest. She is not new to the entertainment industry. She is a one-of-a-kind, all-around entertainer and talent. She is a former member of the girl group Girls Time, which was later known as the group as we know today, Destiny's Child. She is a singer, songwriter, whom has worked with the greats like The Prince himself, from touring on Broadway to acting and performing in musical plays for Tyler Perry. She is a one-of-a-kind professional that has continued to see major success and achievements. Please welcome the amazing and incomparable singer, songwriter, actress, educator, mentor, entrepreneur, music supervisor, Ashley Tamar Davis.
Introduction. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Of course, we had to make sure we do you right and do you justice. I am so honored for you to be here today. Thank you so much for this opportunity for myself and Coco.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. Now, I wanted to bring you on. Now, during my season 5, I promised my listeners a lot of great content. And I've just been rolling out so much great content, getting them to be familiar with people that we are not, you know, formerly known as entertainers in the industry as every day, if you know what I'm saying. And so I wanted to just branch out, do something different. And I've been watching you since the beginning of your career. I am really in love with you as a singer. Mm-hmm. Like, you are one of the best vocalists I have heard. Like, when you step on the stage, when you step on, like, just performing, period, I just feel like something takes over you. How is that for you as a performer?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. I don't think I've ever been asked that question. You know, growing up, I have always been just a girl, woman who's had a big imagination. I wasn't a young kid with like posters on my wall and, you know, singing all the time. I was actually the total opposite. Mm-hmm. I was very into being in my family and summer parties, like typical little girl thing.
Okay.
So I didn't realize what kind of gift I had. I didn't even know what gifts were. I just remember, you know, just singing. Someone would say, hey, can someone sing this? And I was always like saying yes to things that were just, they sounded fun and they were challenging. So I didn't realize know what kind of gift I had until eventually I would start singing and people would come up to me and every single time they would say the exact same words across the world. Your voice is so angelic. Or they would say, you just gave me chills. Or they would say, I had tears in my eyes.
Yes.
So it wasn't until like over time, I'd be like, oh, I guess I do have something different. But I never kind of put that on my sleeve. Like, mm-hmm. I'm the best singer. And it's funny, I was just telling someone today, I was like, I've never been the type of artist that's like, I sing better than.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've never been that type of person because I feel like everyone has these unique tones and timbres, which is what I think that's what makes everybody's voice different. But I do know my voice is rare when it comes to the timbre, the tone, and what happens when I use it. So I've been honing in on it spiritually, mm-hmm. more so now, and not singing songs that don't speak to me spiritually first.
Amazing.
You know, I just won't even sing. Like, I'm not a big R&B singer anymore.
Okay.
I don't do gigs anymore. You know what I mean? Just because, mm-hmm. I have to protect what my message is from myself first to,
yes.
myself, and then what is depicted outwardly. So.
Right.
Of course.
Now, I will say I'm a huge Tyler Perry fan, so I know you more from your work in his plays. I come from a strong Christian background, so, you know, Tyler Perry in the Christian household is like one of the few things that the family can agree on watching,
right.
from the kids down up to the elders. And how did you fall into the world of live plays from, you know, singing R&B and in the studios?
I came across Tyler Perry from a late friend who used to choreograph some of my shows growing up. Mm-hmm. And he used to always come to rehearsals and be like, hello, hello. And I was like, why do you keep saying that? And then he kind of brought up Tyler Perry. I don't think I've ever seen a DVD. I didn't even know Tyler Perry had DVDs at the time. And somehow I stumbled into it. And then I introduced Prince to it, to Tyler.
Amazing.
In the DVDs. And we would just sit there and laugh. And long story short, he ended up gifting me to a show to surprise me with seeing Madea Goes to Jail at the Kodak. That's a whole nother story. It was all in the newspapers and everything. And that was my first time seeing him on stage in person ever. And I was just in awe of the people he had in the plays that I had started out with.
Right.
And so I was in awe just to see them. I didn't care about Tyler. I really cared about, oh my God, that's Cassie Davis. Me and her did this show. And oh my God, that's LaVanne. And I remember Chrissy Davis saying Amazing Grace. And I was like, oh my God, that girl's voice is amazing. And that's how it started, my introduction. And we went backstage and Prince was basically like, no, I think Cassie was like, Tyler, do you know who this is? Tyler, have you heard her sing? Tyler, have you heard her sing? You know, she just kept saying that over and over again.
Okay. Well, now mentioning Prince, I want to definitely talk about that. Now, you mentioned that you guys would talk and, you know, get together. How did that relationship come about? Now, I know that you've sung with him. You guys have music together as well, which I really love. How did that relationship come about? And how was that for you?
That, I mean, that's another whole story. I actually started writing my autobiography in 2013 because there's just so many things that happened. But I met him because my cousin had a crush on Morris Hayes, who still looks amazing to this day. And I was like 12, 13, 14. I can't remember the age. And she gave Morris my demo. And then Morris flew me and my mom to Minneapolis to record with him. And then he eventually slipped my demo to Prince. And then that's how things just, that's literally where it all started.
How does it feel to be coined as Prince's musical muse and protege? That is big.
I don't think I think about it anymore because he's gone. You know, I think when it hits me is when I'm around more of the Prince fans and supporters is when it kind of hits me. But I don't kind of like wake up just thinking about it. Like, right. It's funny, when I leave my house, anytime I travel, I mean, it never fails. Like, I just went to Starbucks and this girl gives me my drink and she was like, "You look familiar." I always get, "You look familiar." And I just don't say anything. And then eventually people will figure it out. I'm actually more known for my Tyler Perry stuff. Like, of everybody course. Knows me for that. So that's when I kind of am always reminded of where I am and who I am, is because of Tyler. It's right. I cannot go anywhere without someone saying, "You look familiar," you know? So, yeah.
Of course. Now, I know that New York Times have given you your flowers before, which is very, very big. They have described you as having a voice that can fill three stadiums and the moves of Tina Turner. Now, when I read that, I was like, oh my God, like, that means she's very, like, they recognize her as, like, a voice, you know, in the entertainment. Talent. Yes, they recognize that.
A full talent.
Now, how did you get the news for that, and how did you react to that when you heard that news?
So when I was on tour with Prince, he always, every day before we went to the airport, he would pick me up. I would get in the limo or whatever car service it was, and he would be like, "Hey, let's go get the newspaper from the article written for our show the previous night, whatever city it was."
Right.
And we were at Nokia, which was a big concert. I found out later, like, Jay-Z was there. Sylvia Rome was there. Like, it was just crazy. And when I saw that they had described it that way, I was not a Tina Turner fan. Like, I said, growing up, I wasn't the type of artist that just gawked at Whitney Houston and so-and-so. I admired them, but I wasn't like, "Oh, Whitney Houston, she's my idol." Like, I was the total opposite.
Right.
And so when I saw that write-up, it really was a huge validation, because I've always been a performer. I can choreograph a show. Like, that whole tour, me and the twins choreographed. You see what I'm saying? So that entire show was us. So to be compared to Tina Turner without trying to do anything like her was a big deal.
Definitely.
You know, so and I'm working on stuff to go back to that music, but not to try to channel her. I feel like I'm Ashley Tamar Davis for a reason. I'm not trying to be Ashley Tamar as Tina.
Exactly.
So it was great. It was great to humbly see someone just write that up, and I had never set out to be, you know, in the shadows of Tina Turner.
Right. Now, I'm pretty sure you get this question a lot, and it might be nerve-wracking sometimes, but we all know that you were in the group Girls Time, which now is known as Destiny's Child. I want to know how that bloomed and where that ended as well. Can you, like, kind of explain that for us and tell the people, you know, just give the people the right information, because I've never heard anything inside or outside of, you know, why you left the group and, you know, things like that. Because I just know that Beyonce put, like, something related to Girls Time on one of her albums before, and people started doing a lot of digging then, and then that's when your name came up. So I just want to know, how was that experience for you growing up?
Great question. I don't get offended at all. I mean, because just crazy how God does everything. It wasn't until The Voice. Like, I didn't blatantly not tell that side of my life. It just never came up in interviews before The Voice. And The Voice was 2016. It was the year Prince passed. So I'm completely on the radar. Like, my name is out there more than ever for a couple of years, right? So at this time, I just remember my whole social media would just blow up, and there people would have conversations amongst themselves and like comparing voices. And I was just like, what is happening? And I was like, oh, because I didn't know that the, so when you perform on The Voice, you don't get to see what the audience sees on TV. So whatever they compiled for y'all to see, I didn't see. So by the time this is hitting the fan, that everyone is knowing, oh my God, this is the girl that was in the group. Oh wait, she's the one that worked with Tyler, and they're connecting the dots with me, right. Prince, Tyler, Broadway. It was the most validating, humble, quiet moment of my life, because it was like, I never set out to tell this. And so the fact that they told it, it was like, well, I have no choice but to talk about it.
Do you speak to any of them to this day?
LaToya, LaToya's mom, Latavia every now and then. I don't have Kelly's number or Beyonce's number. I've run into Kelly at Soho a lot. She's still the coolest Kelly. She's like, how's your mom? How's your brother? Ran into Solange at an event. How's your mom? How's your brother? I ran into Beyonce. That's a whole long story, because when I did Good Morning America, one of our after parties was at, was it at Jay-Z's restaurant? I may be all wrong with the location, but either way, Jay-Z was there with Beyonce, and I won't say some other names over there, but they were there. And at the time, people were trying to put the pieces together as to who is this girl named Tamar,
right.
Because my first name is Ashley. And so it was going around a lot, like, who's this girl?
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Tamar, you gotta remember, at the time, I was wearing natural hair. And I was considered in the tabloids as a chocolate curvy girl. So this is when I first even understood colorism. And so all this stuff is playing into play, where people are trying to figure out who's this chocolate covered, a chocolate curvy girl with an afro who has this kind of voice, and she's working with Prince. It was a huge undertaking for me to endure, right?
Yeah.
And so when we went to the after party, that's when I saw Beyonce and Jay-Z. I don't know why they left after I sang my first note, but all I know is they were there, and then I sang one note, and then they were gone.
Oh,
so I haven't really seen her. I haven't talked to her. I run into Miss Tina maybe every now and then. We have just great conversations. You know, she was just at my alma mater, and I went up to her, and she was like, Ashley. And I was like, yeah, you know. So, but I got out of the group because my parents just really didn't like how business was being handled.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I keep telling my mom all the time, she made the right decision she needed to make for me at that time, right? What we have known 20 years later, social media would be here and all this stuff would come out. Like, no, right? But that's what happened. It was nothing with us. We were too young. We did slumber parties. We took baths together.
Ooh.
We stayed, slept in the same beds together when we were traveling. I mean, we were sisters. Like, we were sisters. And that's really where it left off at.
Okay.
I love that. Now, I do want to back up just a little bit, because in working in the stage plays and also working with Prince, you mentioned that you don't really fangirl too much. But can you think of any fangirl moment that you've had working with Prince or even on stage with Tyler?
Oh, y'all asking some really good questions. Fangirl moment. I think the funniest fangirl moment with Tyler so when I first started working with him, I did The Marriage Counselor. He was not in that. And I did Laughs Keep From Crying. He wasn't in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two back-to-back Tyler Perry shows that he wasn't in. So I had never seen him as Madea. So when the third project comes along, which is Madea's Big Happy Family,
mm-hmm.
that was my first time actually physically working with him, and he was him, you know, himself in rehearsal. And I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but I'm just gonna say it. But in rehearsals, he would come in, we would rehearse as a cast, and then he would come in, he'd be like, all right, let me see where it is. And when it would get to his scene as Madea,
mm-hmm.
he would just come in rehearsals and just sit down with the script and just say, okay, I'm gonna do this, and then I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna look at you, and I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna say this. All right, cool, that's what I'm gonna do.
Okay.
And that's how amazing he is at, to being a great improv, you know, instructor. I learned so much about how he improvs, right? Mm-hmm. So the first opening rehearsal, a tech rehearsal, he has to be, no. I think the first tech rehearsals, he was still himself, right? He had his microphone on, we're on stage, we have the lights, we're doing all this stuff. Then all of a sudden for a rehearsal, he comes in as Madea. And I completely fan out. I was like, oh my God, you're so tall. You know what I mean? And I think that's when it really hit me that like I was working with him, because up until that, he just felt like a cousin, just a tall cousin. But when he did Madea, I was like, oh my God, you're so tall. That's, you know, and he was looking at me like, you've seen me several times. I'm like, but you are so massive, you know? Prince would have been, it's several moments, but the one I'll bring up is when he brought me and surprised me to come see Madea Goes to Jail.
Okay.
He, we sat on the row that has a gap. I guess it's like reserved for the celebrities at the Kodak Theater. And it was me, it was Prince to my left, empty seat, then me, and then an empty seat, and then it was Chaka Khan. But I didn't know it was Chaka Khan, like her team. Chaka Khan and her team. And at this time, Prince is a, you know, renowned Jehovah's Witness, so he's not singing any of his old music.
Yeah.
You know, he's very serious about that.
Yes.
And so we're sitting down, and he was like, so the play goes on, and then, you know, Tyler's motif is doing old school music. So he starts to strum, pretend like he's strumming the beginning of Purple Rain, but I'm not thinking anything about it. And all of a sudden he goes, ding, and then Prince, all of a sudden, the lights are dark, and then Tyler strums the guitar, pretending, and then the lights go up, and all of a sudden you hear, never meant to cause you any sorrow. And I look at him, and I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
And so then he starts to sing the first line of Purple Rain, and I get emotional every time with this story because it is the most.
Yeah.
You just had to have been there. You just had to have been there.
I can only imagine.
And then he gets to the chorus, and he gets up, and he shares the mic with me, and I start harmonizing with him on Purple Rain, and I'm like, and the crowd goes
crazy.
Crazy.
I'm going crazy on the inside right now.
Me too. Like, I'm excited. Shout out to Prince.
I officially fanned out. Like, I fanned out to the point where I don't think there's no other fanning out I could ever do. Unless I met Barbara Streisand and Whitney Houston was here. But when you work with him, like, it just, at that moment too.
Yeah.
And Chaka's to your right. You're like, oh, okay, yeah.
I've made it.
Go home and retire.
Okay.
Chaka Khan.
Right. Chaka Khan. Shout out to Chaka Khan. Now, we know you've done orchestra. We know you've been in Broadway. We know you've been on The Voice. And we also know you was in Kanye West's Sunday Service Choir. Mm-hmm. Now, outside of that, a lot of people don't know, but you have the Siren Music Group, LLC, which you launched for your independent album. And you've also had other business deals and business ventures outside of that in the community. Now, what got you started to go in that direction outside of the entertainment industry?
Once again, another great question. In a nutshell, I come from two amazing parents who have always instilled in my brothers and I education. I mean, from the time we could talk. And so my mom got her doctorate in education. She's over career services for one of the biggest HBCUs.
Right.
And when she first started at another college, she would come home and talk about the things that she found Black kids in particular were unaware of, they didn't have access to, whatever the case may be. So it just kind of launched and brainstormed what she saw in her world and what I saw in my world in theater and stuff like that. And so we launched a teen summit because I was like, I'm just tired of hearing people talk about so much things and there's never a solution. And so that's how it started. We just were being a part, the catalyst to solution to the problem, and we were being the solution, and we have been the solution since. And we've put on teen summits. My mom's actually writing her first book about career services and, you know, why, how kids should be prepared to get into the job training world. And I'm more in the art space because as a music supervisor, you've heard Black Lives Matter, but you still don't see Blacks in positions because we don't have access and we don't know about certain jobs.
Exactly.
So it's a big passion of mine as a Black woman to be a Black aunt to a beautiful, handsome Black nephew. And they have to get into the real world at some point, and we can't just let them get into a real world and they're experiencing the same stuff we are.
Right.
So that's really kind of how it started. I started Siren Entertainment Music Group. I changed the name because I learned about LLCs and loan out companies. When you perform on TV, the tax bracket is different. Your pay is different. And I didn't want to be taxed personally. So that's really why I started my company.
Now,
but it's definitely expanding and growing. And it's a lot of things on the horizon, you know, for the initiative and the company.
Now, I will say that is something that I can say that we have in common, Miss Ashley.
Of course, same here.
I love community work. I do a lot of small level community work here in North Carolina where we live. And we just did a community field day a few weeks ago. It's my third year putting it together, completely independent funding.
Amazing as well.
We invite all of the kids and families and all of the different neighborhoods here to come out. And the only thing that we charge are school supplies so that we're able to give that back to the community before the kids go back to school. So I love hearing about the community work that is near and dear to me as well.
Same here. And I'm social work all day, so that's what I do during the day, and I do entertainment by night. So social work is a very big part of my life, and it's as far as enriching the lives of others, especially
our youth.
Our youth and African American people, because there are so many resources and so many things out there that we just don't know about as a people. And it's my job and our job to spread that information, because if we don't know, we won't be able to be a part of that change and the evolution.
Knowledge is wealth, Free.
Yeah.
Knowledge is wealth.
It is. Now, I know you do have to go today. You're a very, very busy woman. So I want to give you your flowers. You are an amazing person. You are an amazing vocalist. Every time you open your voice, there's just something about it. I can't explain it. There's just no words for it. I want to congratulate you on your 2024 nomination for the NAACP Image Awards for Ladies First, A Story of Women in Hip Hop. I want to talk about that. How did that come about? How did you get into that?
Actually, a special shout out to another music supervisor, Amina Gantt. She was on the project, and long story short, she was just like, hey, I know someone who would be perfect for this. And I got on the project. I learned a lot of stuff the hard way with, once again, hate to say it, Black female artists in particular, because it was about women in hip-hop.
Right.
The lack of ownership, the lack of... publishing is awry. It just is like, oh my God, that we've just been in such turmoil, you know, from the beginning.
For so long.
Right,
and
for so long.
For so long. And it was so many changes. I enjoyed the company I worked with. I learned how to work with an all women team. It comes with its ups and downs like any other team, you know, but I wish I could have been on set, you know, a lot more, but they had started filming before I got on the project. But I actually was just in awe of the history of like Rhapsody, Rod Digga, you know, Queen Latifah, Moni Love. Like that first episode, if you've never seen it, it is very educational about these women and how they even found their voice. You know what I mean? What's the other girl? Roxanne Shanté.
Yes.
She's like one of my favorite rappers right now. I'm like, yo, like she pioneered this stuff.
She did.
She truly did.
Amazing biopic.
She really
she
did.
As well.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Very good.
Oh, I didn't know she had a biopic. I gotta go
yeah,
watch
she
that.
Does have but, one. It was one about her, how she grew up and how she changed hip hop and who she was growing up. And it was very, very
it
good.
It was. I watched it twice.
Yeah, that's how I learned about her. You have to check that out. I want to say it was Netflix.
It was on Netflix.
It was Netflix, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I gotta check that one out. And then I really wish they would have expounded more on the lack of women in high positions in the music business.
Right.
I still think that's like a whole, I'm sure a lot of stuff will come out though, like the Me Too movement. So I'm sure it's sensitive, but I did like the fact that they told the lady, why am I blanking out her name, who helped with the Puff Daddy and the Mary J. Blige collaboration, that remix of Faith Evans, Every Breath You Take.
Yes.
Like I loved, she didn't get her credit and all that stuff.
Right.
And she still looks good. You know, it was just a great educational piece. And I'm glad that my name was attached to it.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
All right. So Now, I want to give a shout out to your podcast as well. It's called Tamar Talks. Is that correct?
Yay!
Yes, I want to give a shout out from one podcast and radio station to another.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I want to just make sure that people are well aware that, you know, you are multifaceted and you have so many avenues of talent here. And I want to just give you your flowers on that. So congratulations on that. I want everybody to go and check that out as well.
Follow, share.
Yes, of course.
Subscribe, all of that.
Right.
Thank you. Where are you guys based out of?
So we are based out of Greensboro, North Carolina. My radio station is based out of Denver, though. Now for 40K Radio as well.
40K Radio is also based out of Greensboro, North Carolina. We do a lot of work with independent artists in the area and then the community, of course.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Once again, we want to thank you for coming on. Is there anything you want to say to your fans, for the audience to hear, any upcoming projects they can look out for? This is, the floor is yours.
Yes.
Aw. Well, no, thanks so much for wanting to share my story. Y'all asked some of the best questions. Some of them I've never, like 99% of them I've never been asked. So that was cool.
Thank you.
And, yeah, I mean, we thank you for the podcast shout out. I'm going to do some new episodes. We're taking it more live so people can actually, you know, see it. Some stuff I can't talk about, but it's an extension of the podcast. But I am doing a lot more shows. Okay. I will be subbing and waitress the Broadway show for 6 weeks. I'll send that information so you guys can see that.
Yes.
And I'm headlining a jazz festival in the fall, and they're giving me like this Hall of Fame thing. And I love jazz. I've always loved jazz. Sarah Vaughan is my favorite.
Where would that be based out of?
Yeah.
What state?
Houston.
Okay. Houston. We might have to make a trip out there.
You know, I love a good instrument.
Yeah.
I would definitely be in touch with you about that and make sure that we promote everything that you have coming up on the episode and our description. And in the future, anything that you have coming out, we will support it. We really appreciate you. I want to say happy Juneteenth.
Happy Juneteenth.
To you as well.
Yeah, it's such a great day. Yes,
thank you. It's
too.
very a great day. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
I want to say thank you to all the listeners for listening. Make sure you go and check out Ashley Tamar Davis, everything that she has in the works, like as far as her productions on BET,
yes,
Broadway, The Talk Voice, Tamar Talks, everything that she's a part of. Make sure you go and check it out, you guys.
I like that list you ran down right there.
Thank
I like
you,
that
thank
list.
You, thank you so much.
Y'all are too cute.
Thank you. Now, once again, you guys, do you want the tea? Well, simply talk with Turk, bitch. Just talk with me.
Talk with Turk, bitch.